Show Show with Peaches and DJ Mota.
What's going down? It's your homie Dope Easy, the Southeast Beast.
What's going on, man? It's your boy Jack Freeman, H-Town representative.
It's your boy D-Lo, man.
It's Cab the Don, man.
What's good? Space City, the great city. It's your boy Roose Williams.
Hi, this is Booker T, five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first episode of the Brad Gilmore Show. Archived. I think that's going to be my jingle for this. I am your host, Brad Gilmore, the dress shoe wearing, the dress shoe wearing Ric Flair and good hair having entertainment world champion, and I'm welcoming back into the BG Show family. I know y'all have missed her. I've heard the tweets. I've gotten the emails. I've received the text messages, and she is back. Please welcome Peaches. Peaches.
I had a question. You said you welcomed me back into the family. I got put out the family.
You weren't out the family, but you were like
me?
You were like the cousin that you only saw on holidays, but you were always really, really glad to see. You know what I mean? And but sometimes you looked at him side eye when he took too much of the Thanksgiving Day stuffing away from you. You know what I mean? It's that kind of relationship. But it's not like that anymore. Now it's like the sister who was away for college and now she's back visiting home for an extended stay.
So now I'm a college dropout.
No, she was at college. You were at college, graduated, and moved back home.
That's not a word.
Hey, anyway, Peaches, how have you been? How's everything been going?
I've been chilling.
You've been chilling? You've been thugging?
I'm always thugging. Thugging is a way of life.
You really have, out of everybody I know, you've mastered the art of thugging. Like, I've actually looked up to you, because I know you're the OG pimp thug oracle herself, and I've actually looked to you to get guidance in life sometimes, not by asking you questions, by reading your tweets.
By reading my tweets.
You have very insightful tweets. I don't know if you know this.
I have insightful tweets?
You do. Rather, if you know it or not, your tweets are rather insightful. But off of that, it's good to hear your voice again on the podcast of all podcasts.
You ain't heard my voice at all. Don't be saying for the podcast. You don't even call me.
Hey, girl, you know what? You recently came to Houston for a little minute. Now you're back in town. No, you came to Houston for a little minute. And I was trying to go to dinner with you. I wanted to go get these shrimp tacos. First night, blew me off. Second night, hit you up. I was like, what's up, girl? Blew me off a second time. And then when
Look,
I hit you up again, you're like, I'm back in Dallas.
My Houston trips wear me out, okay?
I'm sure they do. You have a lot of people to see. I understand.
I do.
And a lot of babies to kiss. A lot of hands to shake.
It's very exhausting.
But, you know, you think.
I come to Houston and I have an itinerary. Like, I have to plan to sleep.
That's worked in the itinerary?
Yeah. Like, sleep. Like, nah, I got a nap schedule right there. Not going to be able to do it.
Well, anyway.
If I got a missed nap, snacks got to be included.
Oh, snacks always have to be included. That's what I miss most, our snack trips to the random gas stations and corner stores around the country, pretty much around the city, but you know what I mean. I'm trying to embellish. It's what I do. Make it seem bigger than it is, you know what I mean? That's my job now. You know, I'm actually going to announce it on here. I've been working this weekend at Comicpalooza doing, at Comicpalooza at George R. Brown Convention Center, doing commentary for Reality of Wrestling. So it's been pretty fun. I'm telling the stories, Peaches. I'm painting the pictures. I'm getting to talk. Yeah. I'm getting to talk for hours on end. And you know how much I like that.
A lot. You like it a lot.
Yeah, I've gotten to hang out with Booker T, you know, Queen Charmel. Met Bret the Hitman Hart, which was pretty cool. I saw Lou Ferrigno, the guy who played the Incredible Hulk. Lou Ferrigno.
I don't know who that is. You know, I never really forgave you for not letting me meet that other guy.
The Great Khali?
Yeah. I'm still mad about it.
Hey, I'm gonna try to arrange like a FaceTime date between you and the great Khali.
Because that was all your fault, and I could have scratched that off my bucket list that day. But no, you're selfish.
I wasn't selfish. I was more nervous back then. I'm trying to protect the wrestling business, Peaches. That's what we have to do.
From me? What am I going to do to the entire wrestling business, Brad?
You never know. Peaches, you have a lot more power than you realize. But anyway, I want to talk to you about this because here it is, the debut edition, the Brad Gilmore Show archived. And what we do is we find our classic interviews, all the debauchery and shenanigans that we've been up to for the past couple years.
Debauchery.
Whatever.
Not a
ch,
but a
cuh. Is it a cuh?
Like it's a K.
I didn't know
there's
a cuh.
Yeah.
I've done all these years with a ch, and it's a cuh?
You like to talk, but you got to learn to pronounce your words.
All right. I'll take that one, Peaches. Point one, Peaches. You're from Brad Gilmore. But anyway, what we're going to do is we're going to find our classic.
Don't you?
I do. But we're going to find our classic interviews. We're going to let the fans hear them when, you know, back then you had to listen live, all right, locally, if you wanted to hear these interviews. And now you can hear them worldwide at your leisure, on demand, if you will. And we're going to start off with a really episode that I remember really fondly. When we first started out doing the Brad Gilmore Show with Peaches and DJ Motai, we reached out to some names here in the city of Houston, some hip-hop legends, some screwed-up click legends to come on the show. And the first person I reached out to was ESG. Now, let me say this about the everyday street gangster. He lives up to his name because I see this guy everywhere. I run into ESG at the Target in Friendswood. I run into ESG at the mall at a cookie stand. I run into ESG anywhere you can possibly think. ESG and I have crossed paths. That's
basically
what I find.
Stalking.
You said what?
Basically, you're stalking him.
I'm not stalking him. I think we might have a mutual stalk of sorts. Like, we just know that we're going to be in the same area at the same time, so we say, well, what it do? You know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean.
That's neither here nor there, like I said before. But in this interview with ESG, we talked about, obviously, you know, him and the screwed up clique, his, you know, view on the current state of Houston hip-hop, but you and ESG got into a spirited debate about homosexuality, which many people might be like the last thing they expect to hear on the Brad Gilmore Show from ESG and Peaches, but I believe he said something like it was a choice and you believe homosexuality you're born with, right?
No, he said that it was a mental illness, and I didn't agree.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was like a mental illness.
And I didn't want to agree with that at all.
And you'll hear more of your stance on the show, obviously, but what do you think?
I re-listened to it, you know, just to see, because I didn't remember what the entire conversation was about. But, I mean, I still don't think that it's a mental illness. I don't think that it's a brain deficiency or a chemical imbalance. I think it's just a preference. Like, I just think that some people just like the same sex, period. I don't think that, I think trying to describe it any other way is taken away from it, and it shouldn't be that way. Like, having a preference is just bad habit. It's like not liking ketchup, but liking tomatoes.
Oh, well, that's a really good way to look at it, because I love ketchup. I hate tomatoes.
Right, or it's like, you know, it's a difference between people that, like, don't like ice cold water and, like, room temperature water. It's just a preference. They feel like water.
Wow, you know, Peaches, this is why you're the OG Thug Oracle.
I be on these metaphors.
Your metaphors are better than most rappers, I'll tell you that much.
I should have been a rapper.
You should have been. You missed the boat on that opportunity. You
well,
had it.
You know, I used to be in the studio a lot, but then I don't have bars, so.
You have bars, you don't have bars, you have metaphors. Your metaphor game is crazy, son. It's crazy, son.
Give me your skit full of metaphors, and I'm in that thing.
Oh, a skit full of metaphors from Peaches would be some classic material. Rappers listening, you need to follow her at Tatala Peaches with a Z on Twitter and get your skit before she starts just caxing out of the world.
Yep, because I'm a tax. No more free, Randy. No more.
No
free.
More. No more free, Randy, from Tata La Peaches. Well, hey, we're going to be here every other week on the Brad Gilmore Show archived with a D at the end. And you can check us out on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio. By the way, Peaches, you need to check out yesterday's edition of the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. I got your drop that you sent me, and I put it with a sweet, sweet, sweet instrumental for a commercial break. And I think you will love it. I don't want to spoil it for you, but I'll send it to you after we get off of this telephone
call. Send me the clip. Like, you're going to send me the clip. I gotta listen to the whole thing.
You don't have to listen to the whole thing. I'll send you, like, the minute and seconds. And you can go
okay.
check it out from there. That works. Because
I worked very hard on that. Like, and then when I sent it to you, you gave me a very dry, very, very dry response. And I was upset because I worked very hard on that.
No, hey, like, you did work really hard, and you're going to love the end result. Trust me. I know you're going to love the end result. It's so gangster. It's so peaches-ish.
Shut up, Brad.
Okay. So y'all make sure y'all stay tuned for this great interview with the Everyday Street Gangster and classic stuff from the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. I mean, from Brad Gilmore Show Archived. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to get used to that. And make sure y'all listen every Monday on the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand and every other Tuesday for the Brad Gilmore Show Archive with Peaches. Peaches, it's good to hear your voice again on the podcast.
Whatever.
Airwaves.
Don't lie to the people.
I never lie to the people. I'm very honest with the people. I take offense to that. I take offense to me not lying to the people. I love the people. And the people love me, and the people love you, and the people love me and you together, brother.
Thank you, guys. Because you're lying.
Whatever. Now y'all stay tuned for the Everyday Street Gangster ESG on the Brad Gilmore Show. Archived.
Please don't sing it. People aren't going to listen.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Brad Gilmore Show. I'm your host, Brad Gilmore. I got a nice co-host over here. Her name's Pears? Plums?
I'll slap you today.
Peaches is in the house, and always our faithful DJ, DJ Motai. We got a great guest for you today. We're going to get right into interviewing him. His name, yep. I'm from south side of Houston, right, Peaches?
No, you're not.
It's technically the south.
It depends on the day where you're from, and today you're from the south part of Texas.
I am from the south part of Houston. It's also known as Friendswood, but I consider it
the south
part.
That's what it was.
Friendswood. See? I'm from
the
south.
How you go to Lamar? You're in Friendswood.
Yeah, see, I lied about my address.
Oh, that's real. Yeah.
See, I'm an everyday street gangster.
I got you.
ESG, the real freestyle king in the building.
What it do? Glad to be here.
Hey, I appreciate you for coming by. You know, like I said, there's only one freestyle king in my mind, being from the south side of Houston, and that's you. ESG is the man who convinced me to stop wearing tight jeans. All right.
How?
Because you said ball so hard, that shit cray, tight ass jeans, that shit gay.
See, there's a difference between skinny jeans,
mm-hmm.
fitted jeans, straight leg jeans. Like, all my jeans are gonna be straight leg.
See,
anyway.
I'm a straight leg now.
Yeah, my son, he wore skinny jeans, but tight ass jeans is different.
Like denim spandex.
Like spandex-ish.
You know what I'm saying? That kind. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
Nut huggers.
as
our grandmothers used to say. Boy, yeah. you got them nut huggers on it. that's what I, you know. But you know, and that was no. That's just freestyling. That rhyme with cray. There's, you know what I'm saying? There's no. You know, there's no gay bash, and I'm not homophobic at all.
Of course
you know,
not.
I have to just get that out there, though. You
know
what I'm saying?
You have to let them know.
You know what I'm saying?
You can be, not that there's anything wrong with being gay. You
right, exactly. So, you know, I just said that line. I said the word gay because they rhyme with cray.
Freestyle, that's how it happens. What do you think about homosexuality in hip-hop? You think it's okay?
Man, I'm from the hood.
Yeah.
In school, I always tell people this. A lot of times, they don't believe me. A lot of times, I think people, you see it when they're in kindergarten. A lot of times.
You think
you know,
so?
Yeah. With females, it is different. A lot of times.
Because they're all kind of gay.
Because you can't tell now with a female.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? You can't tell with some guys, too. But growing up. We had this argument. I tell my wife now, we always argue about this. Whoever I knew was gay in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, he was gay when we graduated.
Seems.
There was no guy that you didn't see a tendency in growing up and then just boom, just became so flamboyant.
What do you look for?
I think it's a mental illness that they don't. Some people could be, you know, try stuff, but I'm telling you, you think I'm lying.
So you think it's a mental illness?
I actually do, because unless you know, with females, I think it's kind of different. I think it's females try stuff. You know, yeah. You see them, you know, half the strippers nowadays, they going both ways. A lot of them are, you know, so I just think that's just something
but
that
you
they
think do.
Which is funny. But with the guys who you see are just flamboyant and open,
so you think
a lot
a
of times, though, there's not no cure. Once,
so
I
why
think
is it a mental illness? You opened up a can of worms. You
no,
don't even
because
understand.
They are born that way. And people do not understand it. So, they do not agree with me when I say that. But a lot of times when they are just super duper, like flamboyant and open, a lot of them, they felt that way as a kid.
They did the same thing.
When they never played it as a child?
No. And their parents hide it and don't get them the help to try to convince
them.
So a
therapist can change this.
I don't know. I actually don't. If I had the answer, I'd be a billionaire, a trillionaire. Because I'm sure a lot of parents would be lined up at my door saying,
but I mean, I don't think that's fair.
Save my son.
I don't think that's fair.
Peaches, look, this is
not, a lot of things.
I don't care.
Look, there's women with three breasts. That's not fair. There's a kid that's for real. There's a kid that's born
but
with
you,
one leg longer than the other. That's not fair.
But that is life. A mental illness.
That is
that
life.
That isn't like them saying being black is something you can cure.
Listen. I'm telling you, those are different. People who change, see people who see what other people do and then want to try it out, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kid that you remember and you can sit there and I bet you there's
I'm not saying that it doesn't stem from childhood or that you can't tell when they are a child.
But did you
talking about the fact that you said that it was a mental illness.
I think it is because they don't have
don't agree with you.
Because you know what? I've seen interviews. When they're young, their mind cannot.
I don't think it's a normal mind thing.
Yes, it is. I'm telling you, a normal person mind. When you grow up, you
what gonna, makes them not normal? First,
I mean, I can't say. I don't mean normal. I mean straight. when I'm 10 and 11 years old, I'm thinking about my first girlfriend.
Yeah, me same here.
Those same people we're talking about when they're 10 and 11, they're thinking about their first boyfriend.
But
and they don't have no control over that, and that's it, and I'm done with the situation.
Yeah.
I don't even want to talk about
that. We're dropping.
I'm just saying.
That's
just a opinion. But I bet you, the ones that you do know, and if you grew up with them, you thought that when y'all was in church, in kindergarten, in preschool,
I thought I did, but I don't think it's a mental illness.
Well, it couldn't have been cured.
All right.
I don't think he needs.
All right,
to
I'm
be
gonna mediate
cured.
This. All right,
he didn't need to be cured. There's
I'm
nothing
not,
wrong
I'm not
with
disagreeing
it.
With what he's saying. The only thing.
Yes,
I
you
just,
are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Mr. Hill. No,
say,
I am not.
Say, you're supposed to say.
She pulled out government.
But look, my wife don't agree with that. They don't believe that either. But I tell them, everybody that I know that was like that growing up, they was like that ever
and
since.
And I'm not saying
you know.
that part of what you're saying isn't true.
Yeah, what I'm saying,
I
a therapist can.
That is
you never know.
Illness.
If a therapist sit them down, and you. Instill this in them, you never know what can happen.
Yeah.
Same with drugs, anything.
Hey,
or counseling,
hey,
you know.
Hey. All right.
But I don't think counseling helps people with drugs.
It doesn't.
I always tell people that too. People join all these group meetings and these, it's not that. It's in your mind.
I mean,
what you want to do.
Of course it is.
You know what is right and what's wrong.
I don't
you
think
know
it's
what I'm
wrong.
Saying? No, not if it's Kush. But I'm saying certain drugs are accepted in society. You feel me? If you sip and you smoke, there are going to be very few people that, you know, really talk about you or down, you know,
yeah.
You know, or down you, you know, in my community. In my community, sipping and smoking is just as normal as
you sip it
as going to McDonald's.
You sip it on that soda water because
you know
no one's going harder.
But that's just like going to McDonald's. But when you venture out, and you start
methamphetamine
and cocaine and all that. That is no longer you're no longer accepted. To, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's when you're getting out of the
that's
way.
That's when you get the stairs. Like what?
Yeah, it's
you on what?
Dude tripping. You know he's on bath salts.
Yeah,
he's
a zombie
bad,
now.
Peach is on that bath salt. Peach she don't agree with me because Peach is on that bath salt. I'm playing.
He don't know what he getting himself into over here.
Oh, I do this too.
Last time I saw you, E, you were here with my good friend Ramsey. Owner's Manual just came out.
Yeah, yeah, the mix, yeah, the legal mixtape back then.
The that's legal mixtape.
Yeah, that's what
you
is.
Call it.
Yeah, when it's legal, you know, it's yeah. original beats. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're doing the Owner's Manual. I know you've been working on a Space Cadets mixtape, right?
Yeah, man. This was supposed to be like a month project, 2 month project. It turned into like a 5 month project.
So what's the status on it right now?
It's done. It's done. They mixing it now. What it is, every new instrument will come out.
You just get on it.
I'm like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, nah, I can't let the mix take him out, and I didn't touch that. Then next day, I know, wow. And I wanted to touch so many. I wanted to do instrumentals from all walks of life that people wouldn't just, you know. I don't want to do just instrumentals Southern artists were like. I wanted to do everything. You know, I got Talib Kweli tracks. I got all kind of tracks from all different artists in hip-hop, and I just... went on and murked all the tracks.
So it's getting mixed now.
It's getting mixed
when are we going to hear it? That's what I'm wondering.
I'll say no more than a month from now. Yeah. It should be online everywhere because I'm just, you know, I'm going to sell them out the trunk. But, of course, it's going to be on my website, esgworld.com. That's going to put on that PIF. It's just going to be free downloads for everybody. You know what I'm saying? Just to let them hear the truth. You know, that's what it is. You know what I'm saying? Kids can boys forget quick, you know. Peaches is really wanting to get me back. She's waiting.
She's like a ninja in the trees.
Wrong, Peaches. Take a chill pill. Duncan Tria. I give everybody a nickname. You know, not called nobody. I haven't gave Brad. I'm going to give Brad one before I leave. Because the fly, he's so Southside, but this fly hairstyle is just super duper clean. So I'm going to give him a nickname.
Your tombstone is going to read the man with the bouffant.
Yeah. It's called a bouffant.
Oh, that's what it's called?
Yeah.
It's a kid. Is it Newton?
Johnny Neutron?
No, sir.
That's not Johnny Neutron?
No.
Who is?
I get Johnny Bravo, too.
Yeah.
I get that
one a lot. I'd rather be Johnny Bravo.
You like that one?
I Johnny Bravo alive. I take that. Cedric Sosa, Johnny Bravo.
Yeah, there we go. I'll take it. If ESG gives it to me, I'm taking it. You know what I'm saying? Pause on all of that. But I'm just saying,
Johnny Bravo
in this. Now, so are you gonna do any? Are you gonna do any visuals for Space Cadets?
Oh yeah, I got one. I dropped me poking J Dog. Action video to Space Cadet. Actually, I'm shooting one this weekend, but that one is for my son. So y'all be ready for him. He's a monster. His mixtape almost done. So we've been doing all that.
How old is your son?
He's 11 now. That boy Bryson, you know, he doing a video for the title track of his mixtape, Schoolboy Swag. And then me and Mike Ellaby, we're going to, you know, it's so many. I'm going to put about four or five.
I'm just letting you know, if you need Johnny Bravo in one of your videos as a cameo.
Oh, that'll be perfect.
Definitely let me know. Yeah, I'm here for you.
I can definitely write you in the script. Easy.
What are you trying to be? You trying to get your cameos in all these videos?
I'm trying to be the cameo king.
We'll get some for him. We'll make some for him.
Now, last time I remember you saying you were signed to Universal.
Yeah, all my deals pretty much is like a one-off deal.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was like pretty like much like a mixtape. You know what I'm saying? And a friend of mine already had a situation over there, and he was like, look, you know, I got a nice prosperous office for you. You know, I could give you this, we could do this and that.
Have you been peeping these sound effects that he's making?
So that's pretty much what it was, you know what I'm saying? We didn't put no big budget behind that. You know, we shot like two visits for it, and it was just a mixtape, a legal mixtape. You know, nowadays you have to treat it as a business and be smart about different situations. You know what I'm saying? It's like everything is not the big project. You know what I'm saying? Like, my big project, still swinging and banging, that'll probably be out, like, at the top of the year. You know what I'm saying? The most real. I'm going to try. It'll be done for the end of this year, but I want it set up right. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
Independent game has changed nowadays. You know, it's cool to a certain extent.
But you still, in today's market, can you still do the slanging out of the trunk of the car, million sold independently?
No, you can't do the million sold independent no more. All that is gone.
You know, that is gone.
You know what I'm saying? That is gone. Now you have to set realistic goals. You know, some people, you know, if you want to, if you want to make you $200,000-$300,000 a year, imagine you drop you like 5 projects. You know what I'm saying? You on the road all year. You can do those kind of numbers. And, you know, that's why I am and I'm comfortable in my skin. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to answer to nobody. You know, that's not an A&R. You know, we've pretty much done all this. And what's so crazy, all the artists who pretty much thought like, hey, I'm affiliated with a major label now, they're all in the same circles and the same walks of life. We are all equal.
Yeah.
They are not doing, you know, there's no artist in Houston, just in the South general, you know what I'm saying, that you can say, besides, if you're not on MMG, if you're not on YMCMB, you know, if you're not on Geffen, Def Jam.
What about Warner Brothers? You know, we got Kirko.
You had that. But everybody's still pretty much the same.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Some artists may be on TV more, but in the financial status, we're all equal. You know what I'm saying? There, you know, unless you have outside ventures that you're doing. So I don't get caught up in, hey, I have to be on MTV, I have to be on BET to be successful and still make good music, because I'm not the type of artist that need an A&R. I don't need a label to tell me to go to the studio. I don't need them to find somebody to mix my project. I don't need them to find somebody to master the project, because even the late artists that are on these major labels,
yeah,
they still have trouble with the same things we have trouble with, which is the changing of the game, which is the disappearance of the mom and pop stores, which is the new political protocol of radio. I don't care who you are. You could be on Def Jam. There's plenty of artists on Def Jam. You do not hear them in Houston. There's plenty of artists on Universal. You do not hear them in Houston. There's independent artists that are not on label, and you hear them in Houston. You know, you're going to hear B-King just as much as you would hear Kurt Cobain.
Why do you think that is?
Because that's just the music. And that's just, you know, that's just the music. See, some music you can't deny. And if you're out here and the people in the clubs are liking that song, it doesn't matter if you're on a major or not. The radio is going to be forced to play it. You know, now if you're a new artist or not a new artist or just an artist with a hot song, but the clubs are not playing your song and you approach radio. And when I say radio in general in Houston, there's only one R&B station. So if you approach 97.9 The Box and be like, I'm so-and-so, so-and-so, I have 100,000 followers, I have this or that, they don't care about that.
Yeah.
Are the clubs playing this record? You know,
and if it's a no, they're gonna tell you to go out the door.
I don't care who you are. There have been major artists, you know, who wasn't getting. There's so many artists right now. I'm talking about super duper artists.
Yeah.
And you don't. When I say super duper, I'm talking about the big artists, and they have problems getting certain songs played. So we're at the end of the day, if you're not on those big tours getting 50, 100, or 200 racks a show, we all in the same category.
I see, and see, this is the thing. This thing about ESG, you got to learn, Peaches. He's one of the smartest, you know, people from Houston to ever do it. Because not only, you know, you're still making money from, you know, all your old albums, you're still putting out new stuff, still playing shows, still doing that. I know you're getting some nice BMI checks from Young Money, right?
Yeah, already. That's a blessing that came out of nowhere.
Well, how did that happen?
Man, I'm just sitting at the crib. I get the email.
Was it from Baby or who was it from?
It was from the legal department.
Mm-hmm.
They said, hey, we're trying to find ESG. Drake wants to redo one of your records. So I'm like, spam mail. Somebody trying to do something, right? So she sent another email. So I ran and reached out and see what's up. So boom. It was all official. Then within a week, it was like, oh, yeah, we forgot. It was another record that they wanted to do. You know, because they did the other record before the Hypher record. So, and they had to send me a copy of the records. Like, I had the Hypher like a month and a half.
Yeah.
For anybody knew, you know, it was just killing me not to never play it for nobody. You know what I'm saying? I was like, wow, you know what I'm saying? These boys swagging the bag. You know what I'm saying? So, that was just a blessing in disguise. And I just, you know, I got a couple of more partners. Like, they done had blessings come out of nowhere recently. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, just a lump sum of money, you know, just pay them. And I'm like, you know, that's just from staying down and staying true to your craft, you know, and just staying positive. Because if you enter the music industry for financial gain and for financial reasons only, you will be just like the other million one-hit wonders you always see. You have to have love and passion for this. You know what I'm saying? Ryan Seacrest is not talking on TV to make money. He's making all that money because he's been doing that for years, and he perfected his craft. I tell my son, Kobe Bryant did not make 20, he's not making this 20 something million a year. LeBron not making this 20 something million a year because they want to make money. They making it because they put in all those years of work, learning what they had to do and just working at it. That's the same way with the music, whether you're a producer, you know.
So do you think that's what's wrong with, like, you know, new Houston?
Of course. I mean, not just new Houston, just new music.
Yeah.
Any guy who's a D-boy with a little money feel like I can start a label. Any guy who can make a few bars rhyme feel like I am a rapper. Any guy who can purchase or have the funds to buy Serato feel like he's an official top-of-the-line DJ. It's the game. Any chick who has an Instagram is considered a model. Any chick who strips now is considered a model. That's what it is. The strippers are making more money than the actual models because the game has changed. I see it all the time. You be in a couple of videos, you know, you do this or that, put some stuff on YouTube. Next thing you know, you're Malia Michelle and you're balling. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you could be this young, innocent chick over here who's been parents that spent all these thousands of dollars on modeling school. You went to college for this, you made some this, and you can't get a modeling gig. So, you know, that's just the world we live in, man.
So everything's changing. So, but here's my thing, ESG. Like, do you first off think that Houston ever fell off? Because I know in your eyes it might be a little different. Okay, we fell off.
I feel like we fell off on Foyers nationwide.
Yeah, we didn't fall off in our city.
Never. Not in this, the whole southern United States. You're going to always see Slim Thug, Zero. The list goes on and on. All these people are going to be booked.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Always. We still doing SUC tours that are just, and it's like new SUC tours. This shit, I mean, it's like super duper packed. I'm talking about retarded, ridiculous. These are big budget shows. And then, you know what I'm saying? This without us being on BET or MTV. So, you know what I'm saying? To the world, we may have fell off because all the world knew, besides the Scarface and the UGKs, you know, they got to see the later part of Houston. Yeah. They got to see the powwows, the Slims, Mike Jones, Cam, the Slim Thugs, Chameleon Act. Before, they missed the other boat. They missed the Screwed Up Click boat. So to a lot of people around the world, Screwed Up Click is almost like, oh, I just seen, you know, Hot New Hip Hop or whatever it was, one of those. They just did an interview with me. And I seen after we did the interview, I seen the write-up, they blasting it out, it's everywhere. And it's like, SUC to make a big return. I'm like, make a big return? You know, I ain't know we wasn't,
we ever,
you know,
left.
They don't understand. The whole independent game of the music industry, all the bosses, this started in H-Town. Russell Simmons came to H-Town. Leo Cohen, Rick Rubin, when they started Def Jam, they came to H-Town. They visited Lil J. Hey, man, how y'all making all these people in these clubs do this?
Yeah.
Harry O, these people was friends with Lil J. That's what Suge Knight got the game. They flew Big Mike and 3-2. I'm a little young cat in high school, and I know all these stories. I'm a young cat, right? And you know the people who rap, you know. So it's like, man, 3-2 and Big Mike just flew to L.A., to chill with Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre trying to start a label. And he doing Death Row Records. At the time, 3-2 would rap like this. Really though, big baby. Sindo and I'm high. Fly as a G. 3-2. Bam. For 6 months, they out there. The deal didn't go through. The next thing you know, Snoop Dogg was, fly high to the sky. I'm talking about the whole swag was right there. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people might not know that. You know, the list goes on and on and on and on. Master P moved to H-Town.
Yeah.
You know, he made a little money on the West Coast when he went out there and was in the Bay. And then he moved back to New Orleans and they started doing their thing. But all the boss game came from H-Town. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you. Baby Slim was right here in H-Town. Dealing with the same circles we were dealing with, Southwest Wholesale. You know what I'm saying? So we already had the boss mentality as young artists coming about H-Town. That's why we was always major without a major label. And people didn't understand it.
And people still don't understand
and
how
people
y'all
still don't understand it.
People still don't understand the hustle.
There's no benefits in this. You know, I have to pay for everything. You know, dental, all this. There's no benefits in this. So it's pros and cons.
See, you know, dental workers look, you know, nice too.
That's not what you want to go to your grave with. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, but you learn this as you mature and get older. But you know what I'm saying? It's like the game is totally different, but you have to adapt and find your niche and find different ways, you know what I'm saying, to stay relevant, you know, And to me, staying relevant is just putting in work and keep mashing. Because I could care less whether somebody else thinks I'm relevant or not.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm going to keep mashing. Because my wife hated me to say it, but I'd be like, man, we're still in our prime. Screwed up click. We're not old school. We just started so young. Everybody was in high school. So people be like, they've been around so long, but we'll, you know. We still here. It's still going down. We young bosses, you know. And if you smart enough to use your talent, you know, to pay the bills, you can still do that. But if you just brand new and you getting in it just to make the money, that's not what's going to carry you, whether no matter what you are, you know.
So what do you think it's going to take, though, you know, for people to realize all this and to get Houston back to that status that we once were mainstream? Because, you know, 2 Chainz album came out, has Face on it.
Right.
You know,
right.
Khaled's album dropped today, yeah. Has Kirko on it, yeah. You know what I'm saying, and
yeah.
Face.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like people still know that we're dope.
See, you just got to keep going. Lil Wayne was not the breadwinner at Cash Money. It was Juvenile.
Yeah.
Right.
When Juvenile left, Lil Wayne put out a couple albums. Lil Wayne still wasn't the man.
Right.
Lil Wayne went hard, mixtape after mixtape. In Louisiana, it was not, when Trill Entertainment first blew up, it was not Lil Boosie. It was all Webby.
No. Yeah.
Listen, I know what I'm talking about. I'm from the, I grew up in SUC, but I'm from the boot.
What play?
Originally, Bogalusa, Louisiana.
Are people from there? Well, not from that city, but both of them are from Louisiana.
Yeah, and so I used to always go back, right? And everything my little kinfo was playing was always Trill Entertainment. It was like, man, these new dudes coming out. So all you heard was you can say what you want to say, but it was all Webby hits. The song with Bun B, the girl, all those was Webby hits. Boosie kept mashing on the mixtapes. So Boosie would keep dropping his undergrounds. And eventually, it all came to fruition. This is Lil Boosie.
This is
so
guys.
Didn't he used to be with the Outlaws or
no
something like that?
It's almost what happened like with Gucci Mane and Waka Flocka. Waka Flocka came up behind Gucci Mane and was really the breadwinner, right? Is that what you're saying?
No,
that's
no.
What happened.
No. I'm saying like sometimes your label cannot control how big you can be. Okay. For example, Lil Wayne always could have been the biggest over there, but he wasn't. But in his mind, he knew, I got to keep going hard. Same as Rick Ross. Rick Ross been around forever.
Yeah.
But he kept going hard, so eventually it pays off. Same as Nas. People thought Nas' career was over 5, 10 years, 6 years ago. Bam, he's right back. He's still going hard. You in your mind got to know, I still can do this. And if you take it serious and you're serious on your craft, you can win. The same as the producers. Swiss Beast was gone. Yeah. When Dr. Dre disappeared, DMX disappeared, that is, ain't no more Swiss Beats. What you mean? I just did this for Beyonce. He just kept going. That's the same I feel with Houston is in general. You know what I'm saying? And the artists. You just got to keep mashing. You know what I'm saying? That's all you got to do.
ESG needs a reality show.
Of course I do.
I think that you can pitch that to MTV or BET.
I majored in mass communication, so I'm ready for the TV.
I'm not a fan of reality shows, but, you know.
What do you think of shows like Love & Hip Hop?
Man, it's hilarious.
It's funny, right? I like Stevie J.
The first weekend, everybody was saying, it's so ghetto. And I told my wife, I say, but watch how many of them watch it.
Yeah.
Reality TV controls America TV. You got your people that watch the CSIs and stuff like that, but I've never been it's very few shows I can watch that come on, as I would say, regular cable. Sure. It's very few. That normal mind state of mind and all my friends and all us, Mondays, we going to be right there laughing and tripping on that. My wife and them, they going to watch the Basketball Wives. I'm going to be right there peeping at that, laughing at that. They got R&B. Man, they got so many reality shows. That's just what, you know, people like to see now.
Would you, if they did a Love & Hip Hop Houston, would you sign up for it?
Of course
if they
I approached would. You? Of course I would, because I know I'm made for the camera. Man, I'm a comedian. I'm everything. You know what I'm saying? They remember Dirty
King
Fair.
Of all entertainment.
You know, I'm telling you, I can do it all. You know what I'm saying? It's just in me. I'm natural. I really need to do comedy, though, one day.
You should do a stand-up routine. I would pay a ticket to see a lot of work.
I would have, like, all my comedy could be based on my, just my real life, you know, but actually just sitting there and writing it, you know what I'm saying? You know, I wouldn't want to play with it. You know what I'm saying?
Be the freestyle comedy king.
Yeah, that's what.
Just go out there and just talk.
I call it two-trail comedy. Boy, I just be out there just, I be just looking at somebody, I just start rapping about them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, but now I would have my material made up and ready. But look, we working on some cartoons. Adult and, you know, kid-friendly cartoons. So, you know, I'm trying to do it all, man.
I see that. Here's the thing. ESG, you know, Ocean of Funk came out, what, 93?
94.
Mm-hmm. And you're still out here still brainstorming.
Right.
Still trying to think of a master plan in the words of Rakim.
P. Diddy was gold. People didn't care about P. Diddy. Ciroc took P. Diddy to another plateau. P. Diddy in the past up everybody in hip-hop.
Yeah.
And he's back relevant. You know, you just got to keep going on. That's all you got to do.
So what does ESG stand for?
It started out standing for Everyday Street Gangster.
Okay. Now, and what does it mean now? Because you said started off.
Entrepreneur spitting game.
Huh.
Everyday.
Huh.
He just swagged on me. I don't know if I like it.
Everyday serving God.
Hey, I like that one.
How many more you got?
Egg, sausage, and grits.
What is it? I noticed like some you know, Houston legends are now
here
taking,
they smoking good.
He's coming up with all these right now too.
Yeah, he is.
They every day smoking good. I just made that one up.
You're gonna run with it too. I'm gonna see you on Twitter later.
Yeah, every day smoking.
What do you think? I noticed like a big thing, you know, and Bun B taught a course on hip hop and religion, and I've seen a couple documentaries about dividing the two. You know what I'm saying? How's it with you,
man? I'm from a small country town.
Yeah.
90% of only thing I ever knew was Baptist. You know, I came up in the church, sung in the choir. I was in the drill team. I used to lead the drill team. Hmm. I used to do the freestyles, fifth, sixth grade for the church when I was a kid. That's how crazy, that's how live it is. But you know what I'm saying? That's just my take on it. Everybody, you know, whether it's Scientology, whatever you into, you know, it all starts with the home. So I remember what you was taught as a kid. Boom, boom, boom. As you go through life, you get introduced to different things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's no way you can separate anything from him. You know, you can't, because you don't know what artist is going to be the next hot. This guy who's hot in hip-hop, he may be an atheist. So you can't tell him what to talk about.
Yeah.
The next guy, this 3-4 year run, he may be Catholic. So you will never be able to just separate it. There's nothing you can do about it. It's going to depend on the person who's speaking or hot at the time or just making the music.
Well, because like I noticed, like, okay, you know, the classic DJ DMD record is 25, you know, Lighters on My Dresser, right?
Right.
And now he just released 25 Bibles on My Dresser. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah,
so,
I feel.
So, like, I'm just saying, like, I mean, is there going to be a time to where spirituality and hip-hop, because do you ever feel like you're rapping about something and you feel like this is sacrilegious or it goes against
course,
what?
Of course.
So that's what I'm saying. How do you balance it?
You can't. You know what I'm saying? You can't, because you can't do it. It's like, it's really, you know, some songs I don't even let my son listen to. You know what I'm saying? It's just, hey, you just can't listen to that one. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm just a little violent on that. Because, you know, I have been through a lot more than he probably going to ever go through.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I try to live the life I live now, so he don't have to go through what I've been through. But I've seen it all. And all the time, you know, you hate black on black crime.
Yeah.
You know, it's just to a point now, it's not just black on black, it's just crime. It's just ridiculous. You know, a lady clutched a purse on me the other day at CVS, at Walgreens, you know what I'm saying, in Pearland.
Yeah.
So, and I almost told her, Miss, I do not blame you. You know, that's just how it is. I'm black. And in my neighborhood where I live, if I see somebody black that I don't really know, I'm wondering. I seen a dude the other day riding on a bike. I'm like, I tell my wife, I'm like, where he come from? You know, I'm the same way. You better live around here, because that's just how it is nowadays. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, we rap about stuff, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's just, you're self-conscious. I always be eating you up on the inside. I be like, man, you know, I hate to say it, but hey, this is life. And this is just my giving you, expressing you my reality through my entertainment. You know what I'm saying?
I feel
it's just what it is, bro. You'll never be able to do that. Because
because you don't know what, man. Too many preachers are not just giving a word anyway. You feel me? It's not just about the word no more. It's so much more with their marketing and stuff. Business. It's big business now. And they tell you, and they're going to tell you one thing. They're going to tell you that, you know, the reason is because God is blessing you for spreading the word. So, you know, that's what they're going to tell you. And, you know, so I just have a whole new, I believe in God, you know, always have. You know, I grew up Baptist religion. Boom. That's it. Before, as me feeling like I'm less, my wife and them, I always be like, you don't put enough tithes in. I put my tithes in. Yeah. I'm spreading the word. I always say his name on my music. I'm spreading the word and the love of God. You know, even though I'm a gangster rapper, I know every day, you know.
He's going to watch after you.
Yeah,
you know what
you
I'm saying?
Well, his name is God, Jehovah, Allah, whatever it is. I know it's just one up there for me. You know what I'm saying? That's my uncle is totally different. You know, he's told me so many stories about, like, the Bible, how the Bible was rewritten 19 times before we got to read. Like, I always dispute certain things in the Bible. You know, always have. You know what I'm saying? That has nothing to do with my belief in God. It's just my belief in that. I think our society has switched it around and made it a way to almost like, yeah, this is the code you live by. You know what I'm saying? But, like, how can you say, I want to go kill these people overseas?
Exactly. See, that's what I'm saying.
But
how
I can't
can
go.
Say,
I can't go kill this guy right here for robbing me or trying to rob me, you know, without facing.
See, that's what I'm saying. How can you tell me I can only have one wife? You know what I'm saying?
I
want many a side chick.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
I
think polygamy should be legal.
It's all. You seen the show?
What show?
That's a show.
Sister Wives.
That's a show.
No.
That's a
that's
show.
A real show.
About polygamy?
It's
real
Wives.
Family. No, not no regular show. I'm talking about a real show. Showtime. I just think one day. It's a whole series.
Check that out.
It's two women. It's the man, the wife, and the girlfriend. They all together. It's like three different families.
There was another one. They did a documentary on it. Because, you know, there's like a town. I don't remember where it is, but he had like a couple different houses with a couple different wives, and they all knew each other, and he had a plethora of kids, and the women would work together like in the village, like type of thing.
Yeah, it's real.
Like, no, seriously, that's what it was.
But, like, back
I'm
to what you
saying,
man, it's like, you know, I just hate that, you know, they can, and those, everything, the rules of the society is pretty much made up just because of the way that they feel.
Yeah, and, you know, because, you know, the Bible, it's like, I don't want to say it's like, it's like guidelines up to interpretation of how you take it, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I read some of that, you know, King James Version. I'm not sure what I'm reading, but I take it, you know, the way I want to.
Yeah, you have to.
You know what I'm saying? And I know you got to get going here soon, but I want to ask you a couple last things. First off, now we're talking about New Houston, and I see, you know, I just saw you in a video recently with D-Lo, Paul Wall, Big Sant, you know, and Soda Water.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I know you've been in the studio with my homie Doe Beezy.
Yeah, he on my mixtape.
So talk about, like, you know, new rappers, you know, you like and stuff like that.
See, to me, they're all different. You feel me? A lot of people try to put them in a category.
Yeah.
I don't really put them. Because to me, like, far as rapping, like, it's different kind. Now, out of all the new rappers that I hear, you know, this particular rapper is not new. He started with me. We was all together as youngsters riding through my neighborhood. That's why he called me nephew, and that's Killer Calleon. Now, if you want somebody for us, like, spitting bars and battle rapping, Killer Calleon, to me, is like, you know, he sticks out to me, stands out to me. Excuse me. Now, if I want some just real life reality music, I want to listen to J-Dawg. So they're all different.
Yeah.
You know, Doe Beezy to me, I put him, he's reality and bars. You feel me? That's his category. Him, Marcus Manchild, Propane, they're like bars / reality.
What do you put Kirko in?
Kirko is more, I put Kirko more as Southside swag, but more of a ladies' man.
I I feel like he's the commercial. Like he's, yeah, the commercial. He's commercial that Houston needs.
He's, yeah, he's more of a, he's your ghetto Drake. I put, he's more hood. I, like I put it like that. He's more hood than Drake.
Yeah.
But his whole demeanor and swag, the latest love. It's like that. You know, like Kurt Cobain's, for anybody knew Kurt Cobain, he hit me and was like, look, ESG, you know what I'm saying? I want you to come out during my set and perform with me. Did, you know, didn't know him from the man in the moon. Boom. I'm like, cool. I'm introduced like that. Why, why? That's how I was. Same, why, as, why, with, why. Same as with Propane. Propane, like, look, I was coming. Bam, bam, bam. You know what I'm saying? That just, you know, I welcome them, you know, and hopefully most of them welcome me.
So what does it take? What does it take for a new MC to get the respect of the everyday street gangster?
Just being themselves. You know what I'm saying? Just being yourself. You know what I'm saying? I hate to see rappers who, when they shoot the video, you know, you got 50,000 white cups in the video. You know what I'm saying? And when I see you, it's never a white cup. You know, I look at it like,
you practice, preach.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You may can't see me with a, like, I don't even use a white cup. I'm just being real. I'm an OG.
You use a 2-liter bottle.
You know, that white cup will get you in a lot of trouble. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, just, but like, they don't really do that, just to put it like that. I'm just like, you know, we're rapping about things you do. You feel me? You're not moving bricks. You're not swooping, pyro ganging. And so don't rap about it. That's, you know, but when you rap about you and you being yourself, you know, I love people who be themselves. You know what I'm saying? That's why some of the new Houston is getting so respected, because they're being themselves.
Yeah.
You know,
and you can tell a genuine product, right?
Exactly.
When you see it.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. And I see a lot of kids all the time. They try to disassociate themselves
from the
past Houston.
Yeah.
Whether it's SUC, but you can't.
You it's feel in me? Your roots, you know what I'm saying?
It's in your blood. And when they try to do it, I hear a lot of them. But shit, in your video, you going to make sure you see swingers. You going to make sure you see Cat Debate. You going to get some SUC. Hey, come be in my video. I thought you want SUC. Oh, you want a video? This is the, no matter what comes out or what has had, Scarface and Ghetto Boys kicked the door with gangster music. Screwed Up Click brought Ace Town a whole different swag.
Yeah.
Everybody was wearing Dickies and boots, and, you know, when Ghetto Boys was out, it was a violent time. When Screwed Up Click, we was high school players with Guess jeans, 9.5 Air Max, the Guess shirts, Versace belts. We was fly. We had the Versace speak. Everything P. Diddy and them rap, when P. Diddy came, when they came, I was a youngster. My first big concert with Biggie. P. Diddy was like, who is this? Who is this dude? They're like, man, it's CSG. And who is that? They're like, man, they from the Screwed Up Click. Man, we set trends. Real trends. Nobody know what I'm talking about. I don't know now rapper in the world that had a mouthful of diamonds. Coogee Rap had one or two. Fat Pat had the one diamond. That was the first.
Yeah, I remember Chief Rocker Busy B had like.
But as far as just straight white ice style, that was us. We did that. You know what I'm saying? Jay-Z, the first person outside of H-Town I seen with black diamonds back then.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Had a grill in 88.
You know what I'm saying? Other than that, for his clothes and jewelry, everybody come to Houston and get their jewelry. If you don't go to Jacob, if they don't go to Jacob, they come to H-Town. From Nelly to Rick Ross, everybody come to H-Town.
What was the Olympic swimmer's name?
Yeah.
Ryan Lott.
Had the grill.
Our swag been there. You know? And people can say what they want. SUC, we brought a whole different thing to the game. You know what I'm saying? And it's still here today. The whole language. Words that we changed the dictionary. We changed it. You feel me? Wasn't nobody in the world. Nobody talking about coming down.
Swanging.
None of that.
So
chunking up the deuce. That's swag. We had that. Peaches don't know about that. I'm trying to tell her.
That's that D-Town. She's still in D-Town. But okay, so
I'm just messing with
you. Like I said, I know you got to go. So this is my last question for you. You know, you talk about, like, we invented these words, you know, SUC, you know, did all this. So how do you feel, though? Like, do you feel like it's flattery whenever Drake or ASAP Rocky or any of these guys who are nowhere close to the Third Coast are using the music?
I love it when they do it. I love it when they do it. They keeping the name alive. You know what I'm saying? People, and they keeping the sound alive. You know what I'm saying? Like when Drake first did the Big Mo one, I heard a lot of it. Oh, man, they stealing out. Oh, yeah, I didn't redo it. Yeah, I didn't try to keep the name going. Yeah, I didn't, you know what I'm saying? You ain't try to do nothing for the. He did something for the name, and then this time to reach out and then do it the legal way.
Yeah,
you know, they spitting bread. That's legal. That's helping feed another family in the SUC. That's keeping the name alive. I love it. You know what I'm saying? I really love it. But what I hate is when major labels shun on the Houston artists for us giving some of the Houston artists new deals and stuff, but will go out and sign something that sounds just like our sound.
Yeah.
And it's rapping about the same thing that we rapping about.
Right. Except not from Houston.
Except not from Houston. You know what I'm saying? Dirty Sprite. Everything. Hell is this H-Time? You know what I'm saying? We've been trap talking way before. Everybody in the world know. Everybody in the United States know one thing. If it comes to D-Boy stuff in the world, Texas is the king. I don't want to hear nothing about it. Columbia's played out in Florida and Cuba's all that's old days. For real. The Hispanics run almost every form of criminal organization you could think of in the United States. And they are deep in Texas. And this is H-Time, home of the gangsters. And this is where it started, and this is where it's going to finish. That's what I'm saying. Gangsters. Everyday street gangsters are everywhere.
You gonna let him in
Peaches,
like that.
Peaches is an everyday street gangster. She don't
I'm
know.
A thug. I know what
Brad,
I am.
Brad, you're an everyday street gangster. Don't
I'm a
know.
Thug.
You see these Sperry's, bro? I can't walk around with it.
Man, gangsters, it's not what you wear that makes you gangster.
Yeah,
it's your
attitude.
Mentality. And your attitude.
The mentality. Let's say that.
Yeah.
Houston, new word. I just put it in the dictionary. Mentality.
You're not too laid back or too shy to reach out to somebody and say, hey, come get on my show, da 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 da.
Yeah.
You know.
Especially
a weak person or a nervous person to be, hey, why don't you ask so and so, could he be on? Nah, man, you did it yourself. That's gangster.
See, I like ESU. I have a new best friend. His name is Cedric Sosa.
I feel like y'all just became
We left you out. I'm sorry.
Nah, you good.
No, we just bonded.
Me I'm sorry, Duncan Trill. Duncan Trill, Texas. I'm sorry, baby. I'm sorry, baby.
Duncan, well, for Duncan Trill, for I'm gonna call myself James Bravo. How about
James
that?
James Bravo. All right.
And Cedric Sosa.
All right.
ESG, I really appreciate you
appreciate
coming
you
by.
Having me.
You know,
number
I'm,
love.
I'm gonna be
we had to hook
to
up again. We'll hook up again. We got more time. We'll get us some topics together that Peaches agree with.
So y'all don't disagree.
I got two names for you.
What?
When you mean, you Duncan Trill. But if you be sweet, we're going to call you Peace Cobbler. We're going to call you Peace Cobbler. Man, let me go, man. I got to go to rehearsal. Look, appreciate you, bro.
Always.
I tell all your listeners, follow me on Twitter.
At
the
let real
me tell you
ESG.
How you don't follow me back.
ESG World.
I'm
gonna
find
you. I already follow you.
No, you didn't.
Nutella sandwich. Nutella sandwich.
Just because you seen it doesn't mean you follow me back.
Nutella sandwich. Do I have to put you on blast?
Yeah.
Let me put you on blast, Nutella sandwich. Let me put Nutella sandwich. See, I'm not one of those rappers. If I wasn't following you, I would admit it.
I just want to show you. It doesn't say he's following me. He just clicked it.
It just said follow.
It says follow. He didn't click anything.
Look. Is following. Oh, she followed me.
Oh,
I'm not going to lie.
But
he doesn't say he's following me.
You aren't. Cedric Sosa is not following Tata La Peaches.
My unfollow button is on.
So what that mean? You unfollow
me? He is following. No, that means he is following you.
I followed you earlier. You probably hadn't refreshed it.
I might not have.
Stop hating on me. Stop. I'm gone, man. I love you, bro.
Yeah.
No, but love.
We'll be hitting you
that's
up soon.
That's why I kept the friends with. I knew it was somewhere around there. By the high. I knew it was somewhere around there by the high. All right. Appreciate y'all. Number love is going down.
ESG go. We're going to take a quick musical break from our DJ, DJ Motai, and we'll be right back with me and Tata La Peach is talking some noise.
Food's giving to me. And this is for them buster type G's who wanna do me. I never had no love for them crooked 5-0s. Chrome mirror 84s, bro, and some low pro bowls. Tight wipe of a headlight, sight the G's paws. Damn, there go the laws. Got me stuffing my yay up under my drawers. Trying to jack this G, cause I'm caught up in my clique. I ain't with it. They throwing me down cause I didn't pay my ticket.